Hello.
Hello, husband.
How are you?
Fine.
Great. Welcome back to the Uprooted Podcast. That's Christine.
And that's John. We're just down to business today. You usually have like little...
Just down to business. Yeah, I don't know. You always give me shade for saying like, hello, baby, and all that stuff.
Well, so that's a bit weird.
I just skipped it, you know?
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm not complaining.
They say whoever they is that you should just get down to business. Less banter.
I like it.
But what if the show is just all about banter like this one? Should you not do it? I'm confused.
That doesn't make sense.
I know, right?
What?
How was your week?
It was wet.
Ooh.
No.
Yes, it was.
Boy.
Save that for the relationship section.
Okay, that's not what I meant. It's raining. It's been raining. Like nonstop.
Right? Did we move
it's
to Seattle? What's going on here?
I don't know, but I normally don't like hot weather, but I really wanted it this last week because A, we were camping, and B, we've joined this amazing club with this awesome pool that we can't use.
Yeah, I know. We should talk about that because when I had the brainwave to move here, I did all the research and looked at the climate and all that stuff, and I knew about the snow. Wasn't so sure about the humid summers. The rain, nothing on Google said anything about the
so much
tremendous amounts of rainfall. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's us or what, but I think since we've moved here, they've literally had the wettest years on record.
Really?
Every year.
Like, well, it's because I'm here.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Or maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe except for last year, because I think there was a little bit of a drought going on. But the first year we got here, remember, just rain all summer.
Yeah.
2019, rain all summer.
Well, but here's the thing. I love myself a nice summer storm, right? I enjoy it. Takes the humidity out of the air. But the problem is it's been cold, too.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, I appreciate that for the power bill for the air conditioner. But yeah, it's like you said, you know, having to deal with a real winter, you really look forward to, whether you have a pool in a club or not, you look forward to that summer weather and getting a little sun on your skin and getting that sun-kissed tan look, going to the beach, all that stuff. And
yeah,
so far, those days have been few and far between.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I'm sad because we had our lovely camping trip and I feel like it was kind of ruined.
Yeah, let's get into that. That's number one on both of our How's Our Week list. So let's
about it.
Do you want to go first? Who talks first?
You talk first.
We went camping, which is a love of mine and the boy. We enjoy sleeping on the ground and being in the wilderness and hiking and fishing and all those things. You and Bella, I'm not sure. What did you think? How did you like it? Weather aside, if we had perfect, beautiful weather, what are your camping thoughts?
If we had perfectly beautiful weather, I would have enjoyed it a lot more than I did. I wanted to have like the campfire and the s'mores and, you know, let the kids outside to play and all that stuff. And we couldn't because it was pouring rain.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When you're tent camping, you would spend most of your time outside.
Right.
Because the tent is likely not big enough to set up your chairs and a little table and hang out inside. Plus, why would you? It's small and that's where you sleep, right?
Right.
Now, if you had a trailer or a motorhome and you're glamping, then you can hang out inside. No big deal if it's raining because you have all your amenities inside. It's like a house on wheels.
Right. There's places for people to sit. That's right. Not an air mattress.
And yeah. So tent camping in the rain really blows.
And it was so loud and I couldn't sleep because it was just slap, 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 slap all night. And it just...
I really appreciated the temperature. I'd rather camp when it's a little cool. Because being in the mountains and stuff, you just kind of like to get away from the heat and
right.
Wearing light windbreakers fine up. So I was okay with that part. Plus, I've camped when it was like blistering hot and then you're sweaty and there's no showers really and it's gross. Anyway.
Yeah.
But the rain, fucking relentless. And it was just, we had to pack up in the rain. It was awful. And then the drive home was like the worst rain I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
we barely could see. Cars hydroplaning everywhere. It was crazy.
Insane.
So the camping trip kind of got rained out a little bit, but we made the best of it.
We did.
Because that's how we roll. Yeah. Joins family never gives up.
That's our motto.
And so we paid close attention to the weather. We bought the Wi-Fi package for my truck so we could just be on our phones if need be. Typical, you know, new age millennial campers, I guess, even though we're not millennials. But we had to have the Wi-Fi for the kids to maintain their Roblox login streak. I don't know, whatever the fuck.
Whatever.
Yeah. So that helped us get through. But yeah, we went to the Lost River Gorge and did some hiking and stood on the Appalachian Trail. We had these ideas that we would hike part of it, but the hike's a little strenuous for us rookies. So we didn't
do
that.
Yeah, and we spent like all day going up thousands of stairs.
Yes.
I think we're a little tired.
But when we could, we did the normal camp stuff, like struggle to start a fire, did a little walking around, toasted the marshmallows, all that good stuff. So it was a good time. It was just nice to get away, I think. How was the rest of your week?
It was good. We've been enjoying the club. I think we spent a lot of time there, which is nice.
Yes.
You know, we're using their water and their air.
It's great. Yeah.
All that stuff. So it was nice. And I'm super proud of us because we've been working out like every day, which in the past we might have done for a few days and then kind of, we can take a break and then, we can take another break.
Yeah. It's a rest day.
But it's like it's like part of our day now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool. But today I did something I've never done before.
Do tell.
I took a class.
You've never taken any class, period, like step or anything?
Nope.
Cycle, nothing?
No, I'm always too scared. I'm too scared that like I'm going to look stupid and everybody else knows what they're doing.
Yeah, we talked a bit about that last week.
Yeah. So I looked in the little window and I saw a bunch of people that looked like me. And I thought, well, I think I can do this. And I had so much fun.
What class? You never said what class it was.
I took Zumba.
Zumba? Yeah. Isn't that like basically salsa dancing?
Sort of.
Without a partner?
Yeah, but he like worked in exercises to it. It was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I've never done a class like that either. I've only done a spin class because I am less than coordinated when it comes to dancing, unless it's like swing dancing or whatever. But the other classes don't really appeal to me as much as like a ride on a bike. And believe me, those are fun too. It's not just riding a bike. It's like get up and move your hips. And they play like every song that has to do with spinning in the title or in the lyrics. They play those. Like spin you right round, right round.
Right, yeah.
I can't really think of any others to illustrate my point, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's fun because they put like glowing lights on and make it like a club atmosphere. But you're riding an exercise bike. Well, a little disruption there you may have heard. We got disrupted by the dogs. If it's not the kids, it's the dogs. So I think I was talking about spin class and how they make it fun. So you had fun with Zumba, huh?
I did. It was super fun. And even though I look like a total idiot, and I didn't know the steps and I couldn't figure it out, I still had a blast and I was sweating to death.
Did Julio, the instructor, and I'm not making fun, his name was actually Julio.
It was Julio.
Did he say you look like an idiot?
No.
Did anyone else in the either. Class no, say you look like an idiot?
There's mirrors all over the place. I can see myself. I looked really stupid.
Did everyone else look stupid?
No, actually. There was quite a few people. I was like, what the heck? There was like an old lady that I was like, how are you this coordinated? Although I think she's taken his class several times, so she probably knows the steps.
Yeah.
But even like one of the chunkier ladies, I'm not going to say facts, that's mean. The chunkier lady, she was kind of getting down too. But I'm not good at moving my hands and my feet at the same time. So I have to like lose one or the other if I'm going to, I'm really bad at it.
So like walking is challenging for you?
To stop it. But the thing is like he would do a step, right? And we'd get into it and I'd finally get the rhythm and I'd finally figure out where my feet are supposed to be. And then he'd switch to something else.
Mm.
So I'm like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard, but man, oh man, did I sweat like crazy.
Well, I mean, that's precisely why I don't do it because like I said, I know how to swing dance but the steps, I was never good at line dancing or any of that. And there's no way I could not do that class. I'd look like a complete.
Oh, there was plenty of times when I was like, I'm just going to move like this because I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you got moving and you were sweating.
I was sweating.
Sweating. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of this exercise deal, right?
Yeah. So it's fun. And I'm proud of myself because my a few weeks ago self would have been, nope, I'm not going to do it because I'm going to look stupid.
I'm super proud of you. And I'm proud of us, like you said, for this whole gym thing. And believe it or not, I think the cost of it is what's really driving me.
Oh.
Because when I was a member of Planet Fitness, first of all, Planet Fitness sucks if you actually want to lift weights and be a meathead, or at least pretend to be one like I do. You know, because they don't encourage that. But it was only like $10 a month, the membership I had. So it was easy to say, I don't really have to go. I'd rather do this. But this, right. You know, and it's not that it's super expensive. I don't want to sound like we're super bougie rich people, because we're not. But even when I was paying like $40 a month or whatever it was for 24-hour fitness back home, I still had that motivation to go because I didn't want to waste it.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, this place just has everything. Like, it's amazing. And so I just want to be there. I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're like, not there. I just really enjoy being there. So,
well, we did a whole episode basically on this last time, so we can we're gonna move on a little bit. But what else are you looking forward to in this week upcoming, or that you did last week?
So it's not that I'm looking forward to it, but my teaching partner. So basically, we have two teachers per grade level, and so the one that I was teaching with decided she was going to retire. Which, good for her. I'm really excited for her. She gets to be with her family and whatever.
Yeah.
But that means that I have to get a new partner, which I'm excited about, but also I'm a little nervous about, because mm-hmm. you never know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But luckily, my principal is asking me to be in the meetings.
That's great.
And we were talking today, and she was telling me about some of the people that we're going to interview. And she kept saying, and don't worry, if we don't find what you're looking for, then we'll keep doing interviews. And she kept saying, we'll find your person. And I was like, she's really concerned that we have a good partnership, which is, I think, cool. But then, like, I have to interview people.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh, I can help you if you want.
Well, I've been in plenty of interviews, so I know how to do it, but I just...
Do you know if you're going to be doing, like, standardized questions that you have to ask everyone? Or can you, you know, kind of off the cuff, turn it into a conversation?
I'm going to assume that she will have questions that she wants to ask. I have my own questions that are kind of like, you know, like the Walking Dead questions, where it's like a question, but you're finding out an actual answer to it when you ask the question.
Yep.
So I've got a couple of those of my own. So I don't know if she'll let me ask them or not, but.
Well, what I mean by that is,
I'm a little nervous.
When I worked for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we had to, like, they're so paranoid about getting in trouble or whatever that you had to ask, like, standardized questions for every candidate.
Right.
And that really throttled me, because I like to go in there and just say, you know, tell me about yourself. And then based on their answer, ask another question.
Right.
Kind of like improv, I guess. But that's how you really get to know someone. And having interviewed like 1,000 times in my life, it makes them feel comfortable to start really spilling the beans. And so hopefully you get to do a little of that. That'll make it you'll find your person easier that way.
Well, as a person who's been interviewed many, many times, I like that a lot better when someone's like, oh, you know, what's your favorite thing about being a teacher or whatever? Instead of, tell me about your this and this acronym and how you're prepared for it and whatever. It kind of makes you nervous. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So. I agree. And, you know, you said that clearly your principal's concerned that you're happy. I think this is just real leadership here. Like, she's
great.
She recognizes that someone being a right fit is more important than what their resume or experience may say.
Exactly.
And the only way to do that is to involve you, because you have to work closely with this person every day.
Right. Well, I think she respects me as a teacher, so I think that helps.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
So I'm nervous about it. We'll see.
Well, good for you. If you need any help, let me know. Okay. I'm happy to help. Always happy to help you. I've interviewed hundreds of people in my day. It's what I do. Is it my turn to speak about my week?
Yeah, go for it.
So, not to beat a dead horse with the working out stories, but I'm noticing, and I don't know if this is a Massachusetts thing or what, I never really went into the locker rooms in California. I just kind of did the gym and then drove home and got dressed and showered at home, because they didn't have the type of spa-like facilities that this one does. So like you said, I want to use their water and their soap and their towel, which is great. So spending more time in the locker room, I don't know if this is like a thing or what, but where is the fucking like gym code? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do. I know exactly what you mean.
I am seeing way too many dicks swinging in the wind. I'm seeing way too many bare asses in the steam room. when it clearly says on the door, you must be covered or clothed. Like, what is going on here? Is this a Massachusetts thing, or is this happen everywhere? I wish people would actually interact with our show and let me know, because I'm very concerned about this.
All I'm hearing in my head right now is bare ass in the steam room. I'm just singing it in my head now. But it's not like that in the women's locker room. We have like a little, I don't know, we cover ourselves up. I don't see a naked woman just standing there in the middle of the floor or whatever.
So I had an interesting thought about that driving home the other day. I was thinking that society puts so much pressure on women to be perfect, and they don't do that on men through the media or movies or whatever. They're getting a little better about it, but I feel like you guys have it naturally built into you because of that, that I'm going to cover up because I lack self-esteem in my body, whatever. Dudes just don't care. Like,
yeah,
we've had this talk about you and me before, that I don't care if I look fat at the beach. I don't care what people think about me. I'm secure in myself and my family and you and all that stuff. So,
well, what else I can say too, and I don't know if it's the same in the men's locker room, but I've just kind of got the idea that it's probably not, since most women have, you know, the moms have the kids, right?
Yeah.
We have a lot of kids in our locker room, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say there's more women with a little girl than not.
Right.
So I don't know if it maybe is that. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable if I knew a little 5-year-old was next to me and I'm just naked.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. I don't know. Do you guys have kids in your locker room?
I mean, occasionally. There's been a few, but it's funny because, yeah, I don't know. A few times, for the most part, I should say, the guys are doing the real quick, I'm going to drop my towel, the dork's out, whatever, but they quickly put on their shorts and get dressed and move on. But I've seen some guys that are literally like standing in front of the mirror, brushing their teeth or using a Q-tip, no towel.
That's weird.
And then they just walk over to their locker, no towel, everything's just swinging in the wind, and they play with their locker, get their phone out. They're just standing there nude.
Are they nice looking at least?
No.
Oh.
I mean, a few are. Like the ass in the steam room, beautiful ass, I will say. I mean, I'm confident enough to say that. Perfect, perfect ass. This guy does not skip leg day. But when I walked in amidst the steam, I just see this ass. And I'm like, oh, I don't want any ass in my steam room. So I shut it and went to the sauna instead. Because it's like, I don't know, it just bothered me. But, you know, the other day, this guy who's fatter than me decides to come to his locker, which is in the same kind of locker pod area as me, drops the towel, and then proceeds to like squat to open his locker, totally nude, butt cheeks spread.
Oh.
And then gets up and decides to get his bag out and find his boxer shorts.
Is he getting out?
Not that bag was already out. Nice. Decides to get his boxer shorts out. And like I said, look at his phone. I was meanwhile just standing there completely naked, and he did not have a nice ass.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think it's weird. For example, if there's other dudes in my little quadrant, I do the whole shorts under the towel thing like you do at the beach. Not because I'm embarrassed about anything on me, but because it's courtesy, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's just it's been uncomfortable a few times.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what you get when you go in the locker room.
I guess so. But not in mine. Mine's great.
And people, the last thing I have for my week that is not really anything I experience, it's just an observation. I'd like your thoughts on how do you feel about people that go on cruises like all the time?
Where is that coming from?
So I have this friend on Facebook who's posting photos from a cruise because he's finally back on a cruise now that things are opening up. And
yeah,
he's part of the Platinum whatever club because he's been on a certain amount of a brand of cruises. Okay. And he posted this picture the other day that there's a 9-year-old who's the youngest ever to make Platinum. And the couple in the photo next to him has been on something like 500 days of cruise over their lifetime. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like one cruise is nice here and there, but I like to do other vacations. What are these people that just cruise constantly? And isn't that expensive? I mean, cruises are expensive.
Yeah, to an extent. They are expensive, but they also include everything. So
I just feel like, 500 days is like a year and a half worth of cruising. Obviously not all at once. That's done over time, but I don't feel like I like them enough to do it that much.
I don't, because I get seasick. So that's something I don't definitely want to do. But I mean, I know there's like older people that enjoy it because they, you know, get to meet people. And
yeah,
cruises are very like, you don't get your own space. So I know people maybe like that. I know I would definitely like to just get rid of the kids for a while and then we can relax. And a lot of cruises have those like kids adventure clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't really had a thought about it.
For me, it's like when we step foot on the ship, it's like the novelty of it. Oh, I can eat whenever I want and whatever. Right. But then after a while, the food is just like, meh, it's not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great, depending on which line you're on. And then at a certain point, you kind of feel like, I don't know, claustrophobic, I guess. I don't know. Just, I enjoy them, but I enjoy them in moderation. These people that do them constantly, and that's, they do like five a year, nuts.
Well, that's their thing.
Oh, it is. I just, it's interesting to me.
They're probably sitting there going, you paid to sleep on the ground in a canvas pouch.
And cook your own food like you're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, that's my week and a bonus observation.
Got it.
Do you have any grievances for me? What have I done this week? What have I done now?
So, you're really weird.
Well, thank you.
We'll just be sitting here doing nothing and you'll go, do you smell that? And no, I don't smell anything. And you like insist that it's there and it smells awful. Like it might as well be like a dead carcass in the middle of our room the way you describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't smell anything, like not even the slightest bit of, oh yeah, that's kind of weird smelling.
Yeah.
Like nothing at all. And you never smell good things. It's always really bad things that you smell.
That's fake news. I have smelled French fries and tacos on many occasions.
Okay, but you don't ever go, do you smell French fries? It's always, do you smell poop? It's like always, it smells like pee. It smells like dog poop. Somebody farted. Yeah. Like it's always that. It smells like rotten eggs.
I don't know. I have majorly...
You have a weird smell thing.
Well, I have majorly fucked up sinuses, even post-surgery. So maybe it has something to do with that. Maybe what I'm smelling is living inside my nose.
That's what I think it is, to be honest with you.
Interesting. But, maybe I should see a doctor about that.
But the thing is, like when I say, no, I don't smell it, you act like I'm the dumbest person in the universe. How can you not smell that? I'm like, I don't smell anything.
So... to be fair, you do the same thing with sounds. You'll be like, do you hear like a motor running? And I'm like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, you're but like, I don't
how
like
do you, hear. How do you not hear that? It's so loud. I'm like, I don't hear it.
Do that. I don't do that. And with one ear, I don't really hear that much.
You hear it. You just don't know where it's at.
Yeah, it's true.
We should clarify that sometime.
What?
Maybe we should do a segment on what's the weirdest thing about you or different thing, and you can explain your ear thing, because the people out there listening in India might think you actually only have one ear, like Van Gogh.
Oh, well, I can just explain it now. I have two actual ears.
Yes.
But only one of them functions.
Yes.
I was born that way, like Lady Gaga.
Yeah. I think she was talking about something else.
I'm sure she was, but this is my thing. This is my Lady Gaga thing.
But you're on the right track, baby.
I am.
Yeah.
But I can't hear out of one ear, and it is what it is.
You make up for it in other ways.
I do, and I'm fine with it.
For example, your sense of smell, exquisite.
How is that?
You can smell everything perfectly. You don't smell any odd scents or anything like I do. Because don't your other senses like make up for the lack of one? I thought we heard that.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You said that. Anyway, forget it. You're being coy now. That's fine. You're being coy about your super sensibility for your other four senses.
Okay. No, I think what I said was my other ear is better than average hearing in that ear.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
that's
that
what
was
I
it.
Said.
Yeah.
I had like Coke bottle glasses. There's no way that my other senses are better than. I had to wear wire rim glasses. They did not have big enough frames for me.
So. Oh, those are great pictures. You have to post that now this week.
Oh, God.
Oh, is that all?
That's
are you done
all.
Picking me apart?
I'm done.
Okay. I think this is healthy and therapeutic, by the way, I must say, because instead of arguing about these things off the air, we just cover them once a week in this segment and move on.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, mine's a little more lighthearted and nicer.
I don't see what was not lighthearted about mine.
It bothers. You don't?
No.
You're picking apart my nose. Pardon the pun.
I'm picking your nose.
Yes.
No, I'm not. I'm picking apart your sense of smell and the fact that you like freak out when you have any kind of smell whatsoever.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
So mine is, I guess, just nicer than my grievance for you is that you don't know how great you are.
Oh, stop.
What do you mean, oh, stop?
Cheater.
How is that cheating?
A grievance. You cheated.
It is for me because it drives me nuts. Like, there is no giving you a compliment without it.
I know.
Receiving some kind of rebuttal. There is no, I don't know, nice thing without questioning. Like, tonight I told you you're so cute, and you're like, well, why am I cute? And you always put me on the spot, and I don't know how to answer that. And then I said, I just like the way you look. I like what you got going on. And you said, well, I'm trying to look a whole lot better. That's fucking great. Can you just say thank you?
But,
or I love you so much, you're cute too. I don't know. Like, how hard is that?
But, okay.
You know you're great. You know you're hot because you landed this hunk of a man.
What if you were like, oh, you're so pretty. And I'm like, thank you every time. Like, that just seems a little conceited.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. And having been married to someone like that before, I'm very, I appreciate your, what's the word?
I don't know.
It's not self-deprecation. I appreciate that humbleness about you, but it's also okay to recognize that you're a kick-ass wife.
Okay.
You are very pretty. You're very good looking. You're beautiful. You're nice. I don't know. You're nice to me. You're a great mother. All those things. Like, you should recognize those things.
Okay. Well, today when you said that, you just caught me off guard because I was mopping. Like, what is, I don't understand what was so cute about what I was doing at that moment in time.
Just the way you move.
Okay.
And as a man who doesn't want to mop or like mopping, the fact that you're doing it willingly is attractive to me.
Okay. Well, I will continue to mop.
Yes, you will. Next time, don't wear any clothes.
Oh, all right. Well, the kids are here, so.
We have plenty of examples of terrible wives in our life, or we've had in the past. So I think it's okay for you to recognize that you kick ass. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to be so humble. You could dial it down a notch.
All right. I'll try.
I do appreciate it, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's next?
I smell what you're cooking.
Nice.
Thanks.
I'm not going to hit the button.
Yeah, please don't. Thanks.
So what's next? Didn't you have a little game?
Well, it was supposed to go along with the camping discussion, but I realized we talked about that at the top there.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of bring it back around here. Basically, because it was raining so much, we had to kind of improvise in the tent, and we started playing Heads Up.
Oh, we improvised in the tent, all right. We'll get to that.
No, stop it. We will not. Yeah, stop it. We will not.
Anyway, yeah. Yes, it's a East Coast Joins family tradition.
Right.
To play Heads Up.
Yeah, so we got to thinking, like, which one of us is the better Heads Up partner? So for those of you that don't know what Heads Up is, you can use your phone. There's also a game where you have like a card that you put up. But basically the card or the phone has a word on it and you have to describe it to that person to try to get them to guess as many as they can.
Well, there's a card version of this?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh,
I did not know that.
Yes, there is. But it kind of all hinges on like who your describer is.
Yeah, wasn't there a game show like The Pyramid or something?
Something like
years
that.
Years ago that was similar to this concept. And yeah, it has everything to do with the person describing. Otherwise, you're screwed. Right.
And so there was a couple of times when, you know, we lost pretty badly because of who we were teamed up with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I started thinking, like, which one of us is better at describing quickly?
And I will say the key here is I challenge any listener out there to enter a Heads Up tournament with us.
Right.
Because we know some really obscure shit that we can just say that has nothing to do with the card and we get it. And I feel like that's why Jacob and I do pretty well sometimes, because me and him know a lot of weird stuff that you don't even need to say anything about the card, you know, Star Wars stuff or whatever. So, yeah, if anyone's listening out there that would like to engage in a tournament with us, we will gladly accept the challenge because we kick ass.
We will do it.
We're so good.
I think what people fail to realize is that if you're trying to describe the word, it doesn't necessarily have to be that particular word that they said.
Oh, yeah.
Just as long as they say the word. Like, for example, if you have like bat.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a baseball or a flying.
Exactly.
You just have to get them to say the word.
Yes.
So I think sometimes we can like sing a song and then it's like, oh, that's the word that comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about keying into what that person may know.
Right.
That's not saying the word. And we're good at that because we have the same brain.
Right. Are we going to do this? We're going to do it on air? Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's see how many you get and how many I get.
Who's going first?
I'll go first just because I have the phone in my hands.
So if you get a ton of cards, that means I'm good.
Yes.
If I don't get any, that means you suck.
Right.
Okay.
Although.
Clear.
I mean, let's just right now make a deal that we're not just going to be like, oh, I don't know.
Of course
not. And like not guess.
Of course not.
All right.
I want to have a tie.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to do the kids one just because it's the one we know.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, don't do something hard. We'll look like idiots.
All right. Oh come on.
That this is good pod.
Sorry. All right, here we go.
Ready? Here we go, yeah.
Oh, they can hear it.
Yeah. This is something that I send you quite often on your phone.
A text message?
Yes.
Oh, that was easy.
We live on this.
A planet?
Yes, but the proper name for
Earth.
It. Yes. This is a show from Disney that are superheroes, but they're retired superheroes. Family.
The Incredibles?
Yes. This is something that kids use to make shapes out of, and it
Clay?
Resembles similar
Play-Doh?
To
Play-Doh?
Yes. This is Bella's favorite animal.
Oh, my God.
It swims in the ocean.
Oh, a dolphin.
Yes.
I forgot what her favorite animal is.
This is a blue character on Sesame Street.
Grover?
Nope, the other one, who enjoys delectable treats.
Cookie Monster.
Yes.
Okay.
this is a He Will Go the Distance. That was the song for
Hercules?
The Disney. Yes.
Jeez, you're good.
I would like to learn how to play this instrument.
The oboe.
No.
I have no idea. Guitar.
Yes.
Okay.
this is I Am the of the House.
Never mind. Dang it. All right, let's see. How many did I get?
The one you didn't get at the end there was King. I'm the King of the House. Don't you forget it.
Oh.
we would have gotten that one.
I was going to say,
ran
like,
out of time.
Messy one. I got 8, my lucky number.
Oh, perfect.
All right, here you go. I don't know if I'm going to do as good as that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we're going to crown you the heads up champion. Oh, it's a game with Luigi's brother, and he's
Super
in
Mario Brothers.
But he's in like
Super
a
Mario.
Racing thing.
Mario Kart.
Yes. Oh, pass. the kids really like going to this, and they clean your teeth.
The dentist.
Yes. This is a ride at a theme park that usually goes up and down and has loops made
Roller
out of wood.
Coaster.
Yeah, there you go. It's hot, and you make it...
At the sun.
When you're camping.
The sun. Oh, campfire. Fire.
Yes. Okay. Oh, this thing wears red pajamas and is also mad at mama.
Llama.
Yes. Oh, Simba and Mufasa and...
The Lion King.
Yeah. Oh, this is something you wear on your wrist and it can sometimes be
a
diamond
or...
Yes. it usually has the letter K. It's an animal that hops. Oh, man.
Kangaroo.
Yes.
I think we tied, like I said.
That was pretty good. I'm not good at thinking on my feet. That's my problem.
Oh, one less, 7.
Oh, see?
So, interesting you say you're not good at thinking on your feet, because my observation, and your son does this a lot too, is
we
every...
Go,
Yeah, you go, oh, yeah. This is that millisecond. It's at least 1 second.
It's because I have to think.
The other trick to this game, I don't want to give away all our secrets, is if you don't know, or if you're not getting what the person's putting down,
skip
just
it.
Skip it. Move along, because you're just wasting time.
Right.
Anyway, good game.
All right.
Yeah.
So you are the better describer.
Yeah, I'm superior
you are
in every
the,
way.
Yes, you are. You are the heads up champion.
Well, I'm glad we settled that finally.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So that was the question of the week, is who's superior in every way? And
yeah,
it's
there
me.
You go. Mm-hmm.
All right. Congratulations to me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's slide into parenting, shall we?
Let's do it.
I wanted to speak a little bit about teaching our kids lessons. Do you let them learn the hard way, even if that means discomfort for you?
No.
As a parent, or do you teach them through prevention? And what I mean by this, and I'd like to call upon an example that happened on our camping trip, is that our beautiful daughter, Isabel, brought one pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
The other pair were sandals.
Right.
Our son brought hiking boots that can stand up to water and tennis shoes. And the second day of our trip, we were going to Lost River Gorge, which, as you said, has like 1,001 steps, mm-hmm. a lot of walking, a lot of climbing. Slippery conditions because of the rain, whatever. The first day of the trip, all they wanted to do was play in the Lost River
mm-hmm.
and try to cross it and all these things. Listen, everybody, I'm all for adventure and everything, but I was sitting there telling them, no, stay out of the damn water. And they were like, Daddy, you're so paranoid. Why don't you just leave us alone? Like, Isabel had some choice words for me. And I was trying to explain to both of them, you brought one pair of shoes. If they get wet, Lost River Gorge tomorrow will suck. For you, for me, there's going to be complaining. We have to pay for Lost River Gorge, all that. So my method in this particular instance was prevention. But in my heart, I wanted them to like figure it out. I almost wanted her shoes to get wet so she would be uncomfortable, so she would know that maybe I should have listened to Daddy.
Yeah. I get it.
What are your thoughts?
Unfortunately, though, I think you both misunderstood each other.
No
all
way.
All the kids wanted to do was play in the water. It wasn't about shoes. And all you wanted to do was make sure that their shoes weren't wet. And mm-hmm. they, unfortunately, thought you meant it was too dangerous.
Yeah.
Or you didn't want them to have any fun because that's what you do. So I think what you should have done is instead of saying, no, you can't do that, how about say, how about you get down to the edge, take your shoes off, and then go play because I don't want your shoes wet.
That's very thoughtful.
I think the kids wouldn't have felt so restricted
yeah.
if you had done it that way. But as far as I am concerned, I don't like my children being uncomfortable.
Same here.
So
that's why I didn't want them to do it.
I'm the same way. I don't like that let them learn kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know it's right. You're right. If she had done that and she had to hike in her freezing cold, wet shoes,
mm-hmm.
she would have absolutely learned.
And it would have been, but it also would have been miserable for us. I was trying to save right. some heartache for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get that. And I see the validity in both thoughts of teaching. I just think we need to be better about problem solving.
Thank you. I agree.
I think we need to, especially with Jacob, tell him why we are saying no and maybe come up with a different way to do it.
Well, that's a very fair point because when I pulled him aside and I said, listen, if you want to go in the water, go nuts because you have a backup pair of shoes.
Right.
And I said, but your sister doesn't and she cannot do Lost River Gorge in sandals.
Right.
In slides. And I said, so that is the reason for my heartburn right now.
Right. Well, they came to me very upset. Daddy's so mean.
I know, I'm awful.
He wouldn't let us go across the river. And I said, okay, well, let mommy take you later and we'll go across the river. I said, but you're going to take your shoes off and then you could cross it. Okay. And they were fine with that. So I think there was just that part, that piece of it that got left out.
Yeah,
that I think agree. Would have been helpful.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once I finally had the chance to explain that, I think it was helpful to a degree, but the damage had already been done.
Right.
Isabel will remember forever how mean Daddy is for not letting her cross the river.
Right.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the next topic I put on the notes, or is it too hard to be cryptic?
Yeah.
Okay, let's skip that one.
I'm a little nervous about that.
We'll skip that one. Okay. Don't worry, everyone. It wasn't that exciting. All right, let's move on to relationships.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or should I go first? I think you have a little concern about mine, bullet point.
Well, you know me.
I'm not going to be dirty or graphic.
Okay.
I like to try to dispense some advice to other couples in this section. Not that we know everything. We're still learning as we go. But you and I have been trying to be more romantic
mm-hmm.
and affectionate in a, you know, sexual way,
mm-hmm.
really going out of our way to make time for it, even though we're tired and or sore, really just making that time and making it a priority. And what the end result has been is I feel like we're stronger than ever right now
mm-hmm.
as a couple.
Agreed.
Really getting along, hardly any fighting, obviously very satisfied in that department. And it's almost become fun, whereas sometimes...
Almost.
Well, before it kind of seemed... You know, I'll be honest with you here, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but sometimes it felt like, oh, God, like, I'm really tired.
I know.
I need to sleep, and it's like, who cares? What's the big deal? But now it's kind of shifted just from repetition to, this is a whole lot of fun, and I don't care if I'm tired. I need to make time for this.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome. We're both being really comfortable with each other and trying new things, which is fun, and... Yeah, I don't know. It's been great. So if, like I said, we're regular people. I'm not trying to say we're better than anyone. But if I could give any advice to any, you know, relationships that might be a little stale out there, you should try making this a priority. And a benefit, a bonus I don't remember what the exact number is about how many times you need to do something to make it a habit, but we've crossed that threshold. Now it's like a...
Have we? I thought it was like weeks, wasn't it? Like,
no, I'm saying in this particular case, I don't think we actually did it.
Oh.
But just mentally making time for it, having fun with it, now it's like a thing.
Right.
And now it's like it's an expectation, which makes both of us feel more confident and comfortable. And it's also on the days when it can't happen because the kids are awake or you actually are too sore or tired or whatever. It's not a big deal like it was before. Right. No one feels rejected. No hurt feelings. So if I could, again, dispense any advice here, give it a try. It works.
Well, and I think for us, part of our issue was that we didn't want to be the one to get rejected. So we didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
So I think for us, it works great because we already just expect that it's going to happen. So we don't have to be that vulnerable person and like, hey, you want to? No, not really. Oh, okay, me either.
Yeah.
We don't have to be that person. So I don't know.
And I really think the key is that even if you've put on a few pounds or you had the kids or whatever, you're not happy with how you look, be comfortable with each other. If you're able to be loud, be loud, be assertive, talk to each other and communicate and say, I like this, I don't like that. And make it fun, and then it will just become part of your routine, and all will be well.
And cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
We got to go. Just kidding.
did I stir something up over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, yeah, not being too graphic or trying to put it out there that, hey, we're having a lot of sex and you're not. Because I'll be the first one to tell you and be very honest that previously we didn't.
That's right.
We may look like this perfect great couple on social media and through this podcast or whatever, but we struggled in that department and 99% of it was my fault. And, you know, I think we've fixed that.
Agreed.
So hopefully it sticks around.
Well, I certainly hope so. Yes.
All right.
So yeah, that was good.
What's your relationship topic?
So you said something today. You had spoken to someone today and it got me thinking, what is the right amount of dependence on each other?
Yes.
So you came in saying that the person said they're so happy that you aren't dependent on someone.
Right.
They're proud of you for not being dependent on someone. But I kind of thought, like, I want to be dependent on someone. Like, I like that you have things I don't have that I need from you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a partnership that way and not like just two people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I do understand also that, yes, you should be independent. Like, should this marriage dissolve, I should be able to take care of myself and be able to handle it. So I get it. But yeah, what's the right amount of needing each other? What do you think? Should we be completely islands on our own that just happen to be together? Should we be like totally dependent on each other? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
So I think the words need to be better defined.
Okay.
I need you, but I'm not dependent on you. I need you because you bring joy to my life. I need you to cook dinner for me because it makes me feel good as the man who's been out earning or whatever gender role bullshit.
Okay.
I need you to be my, you know, kick-ass sexual partner because it feels amazing and I don't want to do it with anyone else. I need you to be my friend who I talk to serious things about. But I don't depend on any of that. If something were to happen to where you had a surgery or God forbid you passed away or, you know, left me or whatever, I can make my own dinner. I can make gourmet meals. I can fix the house. I can mop the floor. I'm not opposed to or not able to do any of those things. I think the example that was being pushed out there is that the person in this person's life, you know, couple or whatever, spouse, doesn't or can't do all those things.
Okay.
So the person feels overwhelmed with all of the things that they have to do, feels like they have no help, all those things. And I think they were just trying to tell me that I'm proud, I'm happy that you know how to do all these things.
Okay. I get it. I see what you're saying.
I do depend on you for a ton of stuff, but like I said, if those things all went away and we proved this when we lived apart. Mm-hmm. I was able to do all those things, but I wasn't happy about it. It totally sucked not having you around all the time just to bounce something off you thought wise or to bounce something off you like nuts wise, you know what I'm saying? Or to eat your delicious food, all that stuff. Like I need you because it brings tremendous joy to me to do all those things.
Okay.
So I think the need and dependence has such a negative connotation to it. You know what I mean?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's saying like, I'm an invalid without you. I can't do all those things because I don't know how. It's like the old Carl's Jr. commercial that gets me so fired up with the guy putting the avocado in the blender to make guacamole. It's like, what kind of idiot are we? We really need a woman around to make guacamole? No, fuck you. I can make guacamole, but I like it when you make it for me because you're my partner and my friend and maybe you make it a little better. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I need you because I can't open jars and I'm not killing spiders. So I am dependent on you for those things.
Yeah, I agree.
So therefore.
I mean, I can't.
Should you leave me, my house will be infested with spiders and I will not be able to have any jars open.
Burn it down.
And things that are up high in the cabinets, they're just going to sit there because I can't get them.
Well, again, I'm trying not to be graphic, but there's a few things I can't do myself to myself either. So I need you.
Great.
As well. Thanks.
Makes me feel really needed. Yeah, thank you so much.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Popping the pimples on my back? Because that's what I was talking about.
No. Gross.
All right. Anyway.
All right. That's it. It's all just a discussion.
I think in closing on that, to wrap that up, I think a fair amount of dependence is good, but if it's used the right way.
Okay.
In all facets of life, you don't want to depend on your parents too much to help you raise your kids, because then if for some reason they're not around, now you're screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All those things.
I get it.
All right. Good talk. Let's get into something a little more interesting.
All right.
Tell me about Harry and Meghan won a prize.
Yeah.
Because, you know me, I don't really pay attention to the Brits. I stopped caring about them in 1776.
Yeah, you've made that joke already.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to hit the button.
So, the royals are just, well, they're not royal anymore, are they?
No, they gave it up, right?
They did. Aw, for love. Maybe that's what Meatloaf went into.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I don't understand why America is so fascinated with these particular royals.
Because they're different. They're doing things a little different.
Yeah, but it's weird different. And this is what I mean. So Prince Harry told British Vogue, because apparently it's different than regular Vogue, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's more pretentious. I have no idea.
Wow. Our friends across the pond are going to stop listening.
I know. I don't. Do they? Do we have any friends across the pond listening?
Of course we do.
All right. Well, I'm sorry.
Our host is British, for God's sake.
Pardon me, our host?
The people we host our files through, they're going to drop us now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Captivate, if you're listening, we love you.
You know what, though? I feel like they don't like these people either. So yes, I kind of feel like they might be on board with what I'm saying here. I feel like
they don't care about them more than...
More than we don't care about them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
So anyway, he told British Vogue in 2019, by the way, that he and Meghan were not going to have any more than two children. That is going to be their absolute maximum. And he said, you ready for this?
Yeah.
It was an environmental choice.
Okay. Our kids do put a lot of pollution into the air. I will agree with that.
Right. So this charity, I guess it is, called Population Matters, have basically awarded them for what they say is their, quote, enlightened decision to limit their family size by giving them a prize of $675.
Wow.
Yeah.
American dollars?
Yeah.
They can't even use that over there.
They're not over there. They're here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we care about them so much.
Right.
Well, that is nice. How do we sign up for this prize?
Okay.
We only had two.
I just, that was a little kooky. I mean...
Well, they are like the kooky ones, right?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I get it. I see what you're trying to do, but...
Yeah, if you want to help the environment, buy a Tesla. Although the jury's still out whether those are good for the environment or not.
Can we do it in other things, maybe?
Yeah.
Can we plant some trees? Every time we have a child, can we plant like three trees?
Can we reduce our waste? I don't know. Yeah. Although they're reducing the waste by having less kids.
Can we compost? Can we maybe...
I hear you.
Reuse the diapers? There's many things we can do. We don't have to limit ourselves to only two children.
Yeah. Interesting.
If I was a couple that can't even have a child, I'd be really ticked off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then give me your third kid then. I'll take it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a little odd.
Yeah.
And $675, like what?
That's nothing to them.
They're going to be like, oh, thanks for the fiver, guys.
Did they forfeit all their money as well?
I mean, I'm sure they get money in other ways. Isn't she an actress? I don't know what she is. I don't even know who she is. How did she even, she just like popped up somewhere.
Not being very nice at all.
I didn't say anything mean.
All right.
I just don't know how she got the way she got. I don't know.
My quick story is, you know, relevant. We're talking a lot about our sappy marriage. Well, a woman in England.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, we're just really picking on England, named Corinna Smith, 59 years old. There was a rumor circulating about her husband, you know, maybe doing some wrongdoings. It doesn't say whether cheating or whatever. So she decided, fuck that guy. She mixed water with 3 bags of sugar, boiled it, and then poured it on him while he was sleeping.
Oh.
And he is 81 years old.
Oh, my. Oh, that's a big difference.
And he ended up dying from this because the burns were so severe. Because did you know, everyone, we're here to give you murder tips. We do that on our other show as well. But did you know that when you mix sugar with water, it makes it viscous, which makes it stick to and absorb into the skin?
It's like a syrup.
Better.
Mm-hmm.
So she whipped up a whole bunch of simple syrup, and while it was still boiling, poured it on her husband. And it, because of that viscosity, it really did some damage. It burned 36% of his body.
Yikes.
And it was the chest and torso area. And somehow he just deteriorated when he got to the hospital and died. And part of that was caused by a delay, because instead of calling 911 or reacting quickly, she went to a house 9 houses down to a neighbor she didn't even really know and told them, hey, I just boiled my husband. Maybe we should get some help. So she copped to it immediately. But do you know what she's facing for a punishment? 12 years in prison.
Hmm.
So, you know.
It's a real sticky situation.
Ladies out there, and I might be, wow. Oh, I'm going to do it.
No.
Don't do it. Anyway, ladies out there, particularly one who may be listening, you know, if your husband's got you down, sugar water, baby, boil that. And you heard it here first.
Okay.
I'm kidding, of course, don't kill your husbands.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's just smarter ways to do that.
Don't kill your husbands. I'm joking.
It's pretty obvious when that's the way they die.
But hey, I learned something from this. I did not know that sugar water would kill someone better than regular boiling water. So hey, there's that.
Hey, yeah, there you go. Learn something new every day.
All right, well, that was a little dark, so let's move on.
Okay.
Our real review. We're doing patriotic movies because it's July.
Right.
This is a patriotic movie, I guess. It has Patriot in the title, but we watched Patriot's Day.
We did.
Which is about the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. We mentioned last week that was very kind of a close issue to us at the time because we were running a lot and doing half marathon / marathon events.
Right.
I was involved in planning them for Disney and all those things, and it was kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to watch this movie because I will say from everything I went through as a security professional, even though I was on the West Coast and whatever during that time, this is very historically accurate as to the timeline and the people involved and what they did. It's almost like watching a movie documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's a sad topic and obviously tragic, I thought it was good. It's very entertaining.
Cool.
How did you feel? Oh boy.
I said it while we were watching the movie. I don't understand why every single movie that takes place here is so stereotypical. Like, even down to the fact that not one person in this movie could just talk normally. We all had to have the ridiculous Boston accent, like every one of them. And even to the point where the one woman who didn't have one got made fun of because she didn't say things right.
I mean, that happens.
I know. But
it's happened to me.
That's great. But it gets a little silly. And then, like, every other word out of Mark Wahlberg's mouth was fuck.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, can we just talk? I don't understand. I don't run into that. And of course, we'd have a Dunkin' Donuts run.
Because you don't work in the city, and but again, this is all very historically accurate.
Fine, I must say. But it just gets really frustrating because it starts to get silly.
I mean, literally my group at work goes to Dunkin' every day, sometimes twice a day.
That's great, but it starts to get silly.
listen, I get it. And living here is kind of like living in a cartoon sometimes because you see just how accurate those things are. But
anyway.
Yeah, I hear you.
So what I was going to say about that is that like really distracted me from the real thing that was going on. But I actually did very much enjoy the movie.
I just want to say that I think in this particular movie's case, all that stuff's a little on the nose because it's supposed to highlight Boston's like resiliency and pride in its people. You know what I mean? Okay. So it wouldn't make sense if he didn't have all those super Boston guys in it.
All right.
I don't know. I hear you, though.
Okay.
At least most of the accents were done well.
Okay.
I'm glad you really liked it. I feel like sometimes the movies I pick, you don't really care for.
No, I did. I very much enjoyed it. It was interesting to see some things I didn't know. I really liked how they kind of spliced in real footage with the movie, which was really cool.
That part's great.
Because it made it seem like it was very real, which was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Well, both the critics and the audience gave this in the 80s, which is a good sign because the audience, especially people from here, could really attack this thing and be like, it's not accurate. You didn't do the people justice. But they did a really good job telling the victims' stories. They did a really good job telling the bad guys' stories. It was good. Okay. I love it. I mean, I give it higher than what the critics gave it. I give it in the 90s. I think it was very well done, tastefully done to show you the incident, but also give respect to the victims for sure.
Right.
All right.
I think I would give it a 90.
All right. We're simpatico with that one.
Yeah.
So what are we going to watch next week?
We're actually going to watch Miracle this next week.
It is a miracle.
Doesn't this happen to Mark Wahlberg too?
No, it has.
Which one's he in?
It's like Invincible, a
football one,
huh?
Yeah, it's
football. Invisible, Invincible, something like that. And it has to do with Philadelphia. Boo.
Oh. I thought Mark Wahlberg was in it, but it was football.
No, he's an Invincible, which is about the Philadelphia Eagles. That's about the USA hockey team from 1980 when they defeated Russia to win gold. Big to do here in the United States. And it has, the guy. The one who
does he have hair and hands?
Yes. The one who is in a domestic partnership with Goldie Hawn. What's his name?
Kurt Russell. Okay.
I always get...
Are they still... I don't think they are anymore.
Anyway, I don't get the people mixed up, but I get the names mixed up for some reason. I want to call Kurt Russell Michael Douglas.
Oh, no.
And Michael Douglas Kurt Russell, because I'm an idiot. Anyway, it's Kurt Russell in it, and he tries a Boston accent. There's a lot of lot of accents in it because a lot of the hockey players were from Massachusetts, and it's good, though, but I hear it's really going to make you like, fuck yeah, America, man. Real prideful, patriotic movie.
Okay.
And it's about hockey, so I'm all in.
All right.
You know I love the hockey. I think you're going to be thoroughly confused the whole time, but...
Well, that's what I've got you for. I depend on you to explain it to me.
Especially right now that the Russians keep hacking all of our systems. This is a great time to watch this movie.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so that's going to be it next week.
All right.
Hey, good talk, man.
I'm not a man.
It's an expression. Good talk, woman.
Thank you, man.
I feel like we got into some very important good things tonight.
Yes.
How say you?
Agreed, I just said.
All right. Do you have anything else to share? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Right.
Well, let's wrap up this episode by
saying
thank you, everyone, and go have more sex.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.